Let's talk about communion. Everyone say communion.
Communion.
What is communion? Help me out, guys. This is quite a crowd. You guys are sharp. You guys are sharp. You're like Bereans. You study and search the scriptures. What is communion?
Remember,
fellowship with the Creator, two at one time. Any other thoughts?
Partaking
of the suffering of Christ. Again, the mystery. What does that even mean? Yes. It's a way of being intimate with God. We get to be intimate with God. What? What else? What'd you say? It's an I do. Wow. You should get... Yes. It's an I do. Yes, Jesus. We will be your bride. We'll partake of your body and blood. What is communion? I love that. That's so good, guys. So I'm going to touch a couple of things. And I'm going to start with this. It is a symbolic act to remind us. Again, symbols, right? Because we live in a physical world that mirrors a spiritual reality, symbols are vital. Don't ever forget that. It's not just the physical matter. It's symbolism because we live in a physical world that mirrors a spiritual reality. Therefore, symbols are important. Communion is a symbolic act to remind us of the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you allowed your body to be broken on our behalf. Thank you that your physical body was torn, that blood spilled out on our behalf. We remember you. We will never forget. Luke 22, verses 14 and 20 says this, talking about the Last Supper. And this is when what we know as the sacrament of communion was initiated. At the Last Supper, just prior to Jesus Christ being arrested and taken into custody and then crucified the next day. Luke 22, verses 14 to 20, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. How many of you guys recline at your table? I'm going to go on a little bunny trail here. How many of you guys recline at your table? Does anyone have a recliner pulled up to their table? How many of you guys eat off of a table that's about this high off the ground? If you can't see my hand, it's about a foot off the ground. Anyone? We live in the West, don't we? Jesus didn't live in the West. He lived in the Middle East. So they were reclining at the table because the table was very likely only about a foot off the ground. And so they were just kind of leaning back. Dwayne and Viviana Hershey on our elder team here at Branch Community, and about a year ago, they had some of us over, they spent 15 years in Central Asia as missionaries. And so they had learned the culture and the customs and the languages of those people. And they were much more similar to the cultures and the languages and the customs of Jesus' time than they are to us in the West. And so they had some of us over for a meal. And they had us reclining around this table that was about 12 inches off the ground. And we just sat there for like 4 hours. And it was one of the most powerful communion times I've ever had. So Jesus and the apostles are reclining around the table. There's something about sitting on the floor and you're just there. It just slows you down. And it just puts you more in touch with like what really matters. Don't ask me to explain that. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I wasn't going to talk about that sentence, but it just strikes my heart right now. Jesus said, I was so excited, guys, to eat this meal with you. And one of the reasons I was so excited about it is because it's the last time I'm going to eat this meal until I do it in the full manifestation of the kingdom of God, the marriage supper of the Lamb, with my bride. And so he's like, he just drops that in there. Like, I wasn't even going to talk about that, but he just drops that in there. Like, there's so much in that. We could unpack that in a seminar. Verse 17, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Jesus is fasting for us. He's waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's waiting for the full manifestation of the kingdom to again partake of this meal. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So take special note there. He took the bread, and he said, "This is my body." He took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So when we take the bread and we take the cup in the symbolic act of communion, we're remembering the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus. And how many of you know what a good perspective that is? How many of you know that if you're questioning something in life, or if you're having a really difficult time, or if you're dealing with chaos or confusion or unbelief, how many of you know it's a really powerful thing to remember the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus? Communion. That's what it is. It's, again, it's also a way of identifying with Christ. We talked about this before, so I don't have to repeat all of that. Identity is powerful. Jesus also said this. Let's see if I have my reference here. I do, thank God. I mean, you guys won't think I'm making it up. John 6, verses 53 to 55. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." I can't even imagine what that would have sounded like to the Jews around him. They were told their whole entire life, when you kill an animal, don't drink the blood. Because the blood is the life of the animal, so you don't drink the blood. And now we're talking not about an animal, but about a man standing before them saying, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Jesus wasn't being gory. We know that. Again, it's the symbolism. And they didn't have revelation, so they were offended. And most of them left him because he said that. They were just like, we really love you, Jesus, but you've just gone a little too far. You've gone a little too far. How many of you know Jesus went a little too far for the system a lot of times? Jesus had this habit of going a little too far. Just about the time he could have slipped out of it or maybe like expanded his ministry a little bit, he just went a little too far. Now he's back down to a few disciples. But he was making a point not only for them but for us. And he was saying, communion. My broken body and my spilled blood is life for you. It's the difference between eternal separation and eternal communion with me. That's what stands between those two gaping, between those two realities. Eternal separation from Christ or eternal communion with him. What stands between that is the broken, is the true flesh and the true blood, right? The true drink and the true food. That's what he was talking about. So it's a way of identifying with Jesus Christ. We take that body, we take that blood, we say, "I'm with you, Jesus. I'm identifying with you." It's also a way of identifying with the church, with Jesus' people. How many of you know the church is Jesus' people? How many of you know the church is Jesus' people? So it's a way of identifying with the church. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, 17. Again, proofreading. Read 1 Corinthians 10 and prove it to yourself. Verse 16, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's actually correcting some major abuses in the Lord's Supper. They would have called it the Lord's Supper because they were remembering this is what it was like when the Lord had his last supper with his disciples. So the Lord's Supper, he's correcting abuses concerning the Lord's Supper. And so he's writing to the Corinthians about communion. And I find it interesting that in Paul's letters, we don't really find out what to do a lot of times. We find out what not to do. Because he's writing correctional letters, so sometimes we have to fill in the gaps a little bit and be like, well, what are we actually supposed to do? How many of you can guess what the problem was with the way that the Corinthians were taking communion and taking the Last Supper? I'll answer for you. They were really wrapped up in how to do it, in the methods of it. And so I just grabbed these two verses. This is a whole dialogue that covers most of two chapters. But I grabbed these two verses to make a point, and I hope that's okay, because I think it's a good point. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation? Everyone say participation.
Participation.
How many of you want to participate?
Come on.
I didn't even tell you in what. What I meant, though, was in the body of Christ. So yes, right answer. For which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? In other words, by doing this symbolic act, you're participating in the life of the church, and you're saying, I'm with them. Christians are really messed up people. They're also beloved and a new creation. It's really hard. The spirit of this age hates Christians. And it can be very difficult to say, I'm with them. It can be very difficult to say, I'm willing to participate in the fellowship of these broken and yet beautiful people that have made Jesus their Lord and King. And the mystery and the profound beauty of it is a new creation. We know all the blessings of God's covenant people, but sometimes our eyes can only see the brokenness and the mess. Even in that, there's power in saying, I want to participate. That's communion. Again, methods. Verse 17, I'll read this yet. This is kind of funny. Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body. For we all share the one loaf. What's Paul saying? Is he saying if you're a mega church, 5,000 people, only one loaf allowed for communion? Right? People have actually, and you know, it's not hard to see why, but people have actually taken this verse and said, this is the method, guys. It's got to be one loaf. When you take communion, we all got to take it out of one loaf, right? Obviously, maybe not so obviously, but if you dig into it, again, I challenge you, read 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. The point that Paul is making is he's saying there's one body of Christ, and it's about participating in that one body and realizing we're all part of one body. That's the power of what he's saying. But that kind of segues me right into this thing about methods. So when it comes to communion, how are we going to do it? What are the methods? Again, let's stay married to the mission. And let's let the methods serve that. So in summary, communion is a symbolic act to remind us of the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus. Communion is a way to identify with Jesus, and communion is a way to identify with his people. Baptism and communion are symbolic practices or sacraments that the Lord ordained to help each believer identify with himself and with the church. In other words, God ordained these things because he loves his people. And his two great commandments are love me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength, right? Identify with me. And his second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Love the people around you. Participate in the body. Love the body. Identify with the body. That's what communion's about. Baptism and communion. That's all I got. That's all I got. There it is. So, thank you guys. Thank you guys. Thanks for hearing me out. I'm going to turn it over to Dave. You have